This is Peter Johansson from Copenhagen, Denmark. You're listening to the Hip Hop Digest. Hip Hop Digest. Hip Hop Digest. Hip Hop Digest.
You know, I'ma tell you. Like I said, I'm here for you tonight. If you want to keep going, I will keep going tonight. What's up? If you want to keep going, I will keep going tonight. Well, look. It's been love. I love y'all. I go by the name of Drake. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, as fresh and so clean as I could be, it's your man, E Green. And it ain't just us today.
Oh, shit. Somebody answered the call. Did somebody answer the call?
The fish. Oh, he answered the call. He answered the call, Kurt.
What kind of fish are you?
Big fish.
Big fish. Big fish. The head grouper in the house.
We got V Glove, right? Did I pronounce it correctly?
Is that Glob or Glove?
Yeah, it's V-Glove.
V-Glove. V-Glove. I thought the nigga was Russian. I was like, is that V-Glove? I will terminate you.
Damn.
Yes, sir.
All right, welcome to the Hip Hop Digest, sir. Glad you are aboard. So if you're in the text chain, and you are.
Definitely he is. That's why he's on here.
And you're a regular listener. All right.
Indeed.
All right, so we're going to put you through the paces, all right? We ask all our guests, you know what time it is. Mr. Glove, your top three MCs, if you will, please.
All right. We go Silk the Shaka, Vanilla Ice, and now those are jokes.
Yeah, you was about to get hung up on it. I can't even do it.
What you have just heard was a misunderstanding. We thought we had a hip hop nigga on here.
You do. Of course, Biggie is probably my ultimate. Probably know the most rhymes from him. Black Thought is my other guy, and then Fonte.
Oh shit, Fonte! Okay. Fonte gets a mention in here, no doubt. Mr. Glove, the first rap record, CD, tape, whatever that you bought with your own money.
Man, the first tape I ever bought my own money, I had to have from my pops. It was Easy E, Easy Does It.
Oh,
I had to put my hand over the explicit lyrics sticker. He's like, let me see what you just bought. And showing it to him with my fingers over the explicit lyrics. And that's the first tape I remember buying my own money.
Oh, all right. No
you
doubt.
You had to hide that, Jones.
Yeah.
Ruthless Records in the house. All right. Mr. Glove, tell us where you from, where you hanging out from, where you calling in from?
Chicago, Illinois, South Side. Oh, born shit. And raised.
Okay. All right.
We got a few Chicago listeners.
Yes, we do. One of my favorite places anyway, too, Chicago.
Yo, and before we get in, I got a question for you. How did you stumble upon the Hip Hop Digest show, and what has made you hang in there with us?
That's a great question. We should have been asking everybody that shit.
That's a good question. My nephew, you guys know him as Tobias Black.
Oh. Hey.
And he always will bring your topics to me in conversation. He's like, man, you got to get in this text chain. They be going off. You be good in there, man. You like to argue. You be having good points. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So he sent me a link, and I listened to a show while I was driving out of state. And I liked the content. I think I listened to probably like six shows that night because everything was just backlog.
Damn.
And I've been on ever since.
You was going way out of town. You listened to six shows.
Well, hey, you got it going in the background music, man. The content's good. Hey, time flies.
Well, salute. Thank you for that. And again, maybe you answered it, but what has made you hang with us this long?
Interesting in what the new how do you guys respond to the changes in society into hip hop in particular? Just to hear this perspective that you guys bring on a weekly basis. I appreciate the content that you provide, and just helps me get some resolution into some things that I have made interior inside conversation with.
Oh shit, this nigga can do a commercial for us.
No doubt.
ain't no doubt.
And he will later, by the way.
Yes, he will. At the end.
Right, right.
All right, so let's go in. Let's jump right in. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is we're going to finish up some things from last week. Last week, obviously, you all know we had the capo, Jim Jones, on for a brief minute or whatever.
Yes, sir.
I was surprised at his humility, but maybe that was just for us.
No, that's probably who he really is, but he got a temper.
Well, so
because right after us,
literally, as we were on the phone and he's walking to the restaurant, he gets into a fight after he hangs up with us. I guess he gets into a fight. Who is that? Freddie Gibbs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it Gibbs?
Yeah.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah, he gets
this ain't the first time either, by the way.
God damn. See, yeah. I'm gonna save my comments for a second.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, it's just very interesting. I mean, you know, he seemed to be very thankful that people were still checking for him, that he still had a platform to do what he does. And, you know, that was the long and short of the interview. You know, this whole thing with Gibbs, I don't really know the background. I'm assuming, I don't know, Gibbs has some type of gang affiliation that Jim Jones violated. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean,
and they both out of state. They in Florida. One's from New York, one's from Cali. They out of state. How they violate?
Y'all should be down there enjoying the fucking sunshine. See, now I'm going to fucking see. Y'all niggas should be down there enjoying the sunshine, enjoying all the views that come with that sunshine, instead of fucking around in here fighting grown-ass men. They close to our fucking age. Y'all mm-hmm. out here on some dumb shit. Really over some gang shit? Let that shit go, B. That shit don't mean a fucking thing. You see how niggas end up in rap? Dead. That's what the fuck happens to them. Over some dumb shit. So there's no need for this shit. Just leave that shit alone. Let it go.
Easier said than done, apparently.
No doubt. No doubt. Mr. Glove, you got any comments on Jimmy and his attitude?
I listened to the episode, and he definitely was preoccupied, you can tell. Unfortunately, him and Gibbs got into it, and, you know, Gibbs has been a long supporter of Midwest gang culture. From his standpoint, he's all in his raps, and it is what it is, man. Sometimes, hey, we strive to be so much more, but we reduce ourselves to less at the wrong point in time.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Well, I want to give a disclaimer real quick for Mr. Jones. Jim Jones, he stepped outside of a restaurant in Miami to talk to us. So being that who he is, he was basically out there, and I noticed, I knew he was looking around and, you know, all that, but he's a celebrity, right? And he just stepped outside of a restaurant in Miami. So I don't want to say that he was, it had nothing to do with that shit that happened after, but I do understand right. that he's a celebrity. He was out standing literally outside talking to us, who anybody could just roll up on him like that. So I have gotten that comment before that he sounded preoccupied. I would fucking sound preoccupied too if I was a celebrity standing outside in a restaurant.
Wide open space and niggas is walking by you all the time. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's understandable.
All right, so all right, that clears up the situation from last week. Let me just go into the next topic of the Hip Hop Digest. Is I really am starting to feel really bad for your boy Travis Scott. Anheuser-Busch discontinues the Travis Scott Cacti Hard Seltzer line.
The cactus joint?
Yeah, whatever. The cacti cactus, no doubt.
You singular. It's about to be cacti, I guess.
Well, Anheuser-Busch.
About to be just needles in a minute.
Yeah. Ooh. Anheuser-Busch put out the following statement. We believe the brand and his fans will understand and respect for the decision. The beverage maker says of ending the partnership with the rapper after less than a year. While Anheuser-Busch did not specifically cite the Astro World tragedy for the reason of discontinuing the hard seltzer line.
But it is.
But the decision wasn't due to poor sales. When the cactus drink arrived out there in March 2021, it immediately sold out online and stores struggled to keep the product on the shelves. So CEO Michael somebody these names crazy. Anyway, the CEO, you're right. He told CNBC that the social media pages, the branding, everything have been removed from Anheuser-Busch's website. We have totally deleted that, and we are no longer a business with Travis Scott. Boy, I'm really starting to feel bad for him. He is taking it on the chin.
Oh, nah, it body blows now, nigga. Fuck the chin.
Hold on, yo. y'all forgetting something. Knees. Y'all are forgetting something. Let me put you up on game real quick. This gentleman had a tour going around. It has made some money. Would you agree?
It's made
some money.
A lot of money.
A lot of damn money.
Yes, yeah, a lot of money. This man has had a Nike shoe that changed the Jordan design on his behalf. Am I correct?
Yeah, they did.
That's a little bit of money, right?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of money.
Okay, and then there's one more thing I want to mention. Not too many human beings have had a meal named after them at McDonald's, have they?
Nice.
Not too many.
Less than 10, I think.
Okay.
But he did that, right?
Yeah, he did.
So that's a little bit of money, right?
That he did that.
So we can't cry for Argentina as far as financially.
No, we cannot talk about his finances.
Them roll out.
But what you're talking about is what he did. McDonald's would not fucking name a damn straw after his ass right now. Because they ain't fucking with him. He untouchable like that cactus, my nigga.
I think that you are incorrect in that, and I think time will tell.
I mean, of course, as time goes on and people start to forget about it and the lawsuits start to wane, yeah, they'll go with it. But right this minute, ain't nobody fucking with that nigga right now because they know they're going to get sued. Be like, why are you fucking with him? They don't want no parts of that shit.
I tell you what, the social media backlash, and especially corporate people, specifically like Anheuser-Busch, I mean, it's not that we're crying for him. He's still a very wealthy guy. Yeah. I mean, in that aspect of it.
One-tenth of his fucking money.
But I guess I'm looking at this. He's on stage, and generally, again, it's just one of these things where no one is fucking looking at Live Nation who went cheap on the security.
And then, did you see what Live Nation did, too? To the fucking to the employees, B?
Oh,
did you hear about that shit?
Nah, what happened?
Employees, they make an employee sign a fucking a non-disclosure agreement, and you got to do some other dumb shit they're making them do, or you don't get paid for the work you did during the concert.
See,
so they're holding checks, they're holding money from these niggas.
See, and I know that Travis is the name, and he's the money, you know, directed to the lawsuits, but Live Nation got money too. You know what I mean? And I'm sorry. It should be one of these things. You know, if I'm the attorney, I'm going to maybe hold a press conference. I said, I'm suing Scott, no doubt, but I'm suing Live Nation. I'm suing Harris County, the Stadium Authority. I'm throwing everybody under the bus.
Believe me, all of them niggas are getting sued. It's just that you see Scott's name at the top of the list. They don't even talk about them other niggas because they know them other niggas is going to settle outside of the court. They just gonna keep Scott's name way up there so they can bring his ass and drag him through the mud.
Right.
Yeah, I'm pulling the Kurt G and looking behind the curtain. Yes, he is the goddamn face of that shit, but it's just a listen to this, okay? This man has been fucking apologetic and feeling guilty and showing remorse from the fucking beginning.
Yes, he has.
Lawsuits have nothing the fuck to do with that, but feelings do. Do you understand?
Right.
Speaking legally. End of the day, we can talk all this shit about Live Nation and Kurt bringing up that extra shit that they're fucking doing. They're the ones that's going to be fucked up when these reports are out. And they be like, oh, these motherfuckers? But at the same time, you was hearing immediately Travis Scott saying, oh, I'm going to pay for the funerals of these people that were killed and what's up. All that kind of stuff. Oh,
right.
And I'm not saying it was a game. That is maybe who he is for real. It was like, damn, this is fucked up. I got to do something.
Right.
At the end of the day, when the motherfucking rubber hits the road, people are going to remember that Travis Scott jumped the fuck out there, whether his handlers was telling him to shut up or not. He jumped out there. All these Live Nations and all these other people, security companies and whatever the fuck else, was on low letting him catch all that heat. I have more faith in motherfucking people than to think that they're really going to try to lay this on the lap of Travis Scott, whether he told people to rush the stage or not.
Well, hopefully, for what you're saying, his lawyer can get some jurors passed that are going to let them go ahead and feel sorry for Scott.
If he's a fucking attorney worth his salt, you goddamn right. I'm not an attorney. But what I just fucking said can be expounded upon by some fucking nigga that learned all these words in college. You feel me?
Right.
You know, I'm not a concert promoter or any of that. I remember doing a wedding, just a DJ wedding reception. As a matter of fact, I think it was Tommy's boy, Reggie. And the lady who was the coordinator of that absolutely had a fit, because I didn't have tape to tape down my speaker wire. And she was like, oh my God, if somebody trips over that, we can get sued. And I was like, nah, I'm running up against the wall. The speakers, ain't nobody even going to be back here. She just went nuts. Beat down the security and to get the janitor. The janitor came up with some duct tape. She taped the speakers down to the floor. I guess the point I'm saying is that as big as Travis Scott is that it seems to me a lot of these guys don't have the detail, men.
Right.
To roll up on Travis and be like, look, B, I know that mosh pit shit. Yo, let them motherfuckers do that on their own. Don't you say one word about that shit. Or, you know, or getting with Live Nation, you know, to understand. Look at the history. You know, Run DMC and them would do concerts and somebody got bust off in front of the concert, or Gazelle snatched, or somebody beat the fuck up. Yo, they had to take account for all of that shit. You know what I mean? So the details, man, and this is the only failure to me for Travis. He didn't have detail guys, you know?
Yeah.
And that just shows me on a level, I didn't have enough detail to think that I needed tape the speaker wire. I didn't give a fuck. But she was detailed on that. She was like, we taping this shit down.
Because I ain't trying to get sued. This is my event, and fuck that getting sued shit.
Right, no doubt. So, yeah, there it is. So, that's what's up, yo. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Where Am I on That? Oh, Bruce Springsteen sells his massive catalog, the massive deal for $500 million. Last week we were talking about Dylan getting $300. Here your boy coming in with that half a bullion. Bruce Springsteen. Sony Music Entertainment. Let's see here. With classics like Born to Run and Born in USA. Matter of fact, it's $550 million.
Ouch.
Springsteen, 72 years old, had been with Columbia Records his entirety of his whole career, and has long, check it out, and has long controlled the rights to his recordings. He also owns the copyrights to his songwriting and essentially acts as his own publisher. Okay?
Oh, that's why they gave him all the bread.
Yeah, well, he has control of all the bread. They had no choice. Okay? Since 2017, the songwriting has basically just been administered by Sony Music. But if a nickel bag got sold,
they had to come to him.
Bruce Springsteen got in. So, you know what I mean? So, let's talk about that for a minute. It's one of the things that's kind of funny about Bruce Springsteen and the differences in today's music landscape. But, you know, Bruce Springsteen's first album, 1973, Greetings from Asbury Park, it didn't blow. And where he had good success in the mid-70s, around 75, with Born to Run, he really didn't blow until a full 11 years later. And he put out a lot of records between 75 and 84 when Born in the USA sold an obscene amount. Okay? but he's probably getting more money than anybody else. Like I said, I believe that Jackson's estate will probably, if it ever comes to that, will get the most if they ever do it. Because Jackson's estate routinely probably racks up $500 million a year any fucking way.
So if they sell, they got to give Lisa Billy.
Or close to it. But anyway, but the differences in the music industry of today, I mean, you got guys, and the thing about the paltry sums the early adopters got. The thing about the paltry sums RZA got.
Just think about the paltry sum that we just talked about last week.
Right.
Oh, James Brown.
James Brown, my nigga. Come on, son.
I mean,
that catalog sold for that over some fucking kids not knowing how to fucking use their brains and just over just want money. Well, you could have got a lot more money if that's all you wanted. You could have got a damn lot more.
Ain't work out like that.
No, sir. Mr. Glove, you like Bruce Springsteen?
I can't say that I do, sir. I know who he is, but he don't get no play in my ride.
Oh, okay.
Menace to society. I hear you.
Come on, Kurt G. Swerve. Come on, Born in the USA. Come on. Man,
come on, yo. I respect the gentleman, and I respect him for getting half a billy, because like I said last week, he's old as fuck. You think he gonna make a half a billion before he checks out?
No, sir.
He's good.
He's passing that on.
Maybe he's like Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey said he ain't leaving his kids shit. Maybe Bruce Springsteen felt the same way.
Almost said something. I'll leave that shit alone. I'm gonna leave it alone. Huh? I got enough bad karma. Let me leave that alone. I'm gonna let that one go.
No doubt. So I'm gonna ask our guests. I'm gonna ask our guests a question. Sometimes we expound upon the questions here, and I'm gonna ask you, what do you know? In Chicago? It could be Chicago. It could be local guys or whatever. The DJ game. Is there any particular DJs that you grew up with or that you liked or you know anything as far as that is hip hop? You know what I mean?
I think coming up, I used to listen to a guy. His name was Pink House. Okay. And he would do a lot of party promoting and spending and things of that nature. But now locally at my age, you'll find me now listening to something on the Jazzy Jeff app or something like that. but other than that guy, DJ Rambo, I was at my nephew's house this weekend. He was pretty good.
Oh, the boy, he was doing it.
Yeah. He was putting in work.
Yeah. Okay. He was doing it.
You going to take this chance to get your house in Chicago.
I mean, yeah.
Home of the house.
I was just going to ask if we could dip into the House Music Digest.
You might as well. You dipped
just
into it.
Just for a minute. Yeah.
You got time this time.
Do I?
We ain't on Zoom, so you got time.
Okay. So anyway, and I'm only saying that because, again, Chicago is one of my favorite places, and I am a house music enthusiast. And it is always interesting to me how Chicago guys, I only listen to so-and-so and such and such, he represents the South Side, or I don't mess with the chosen few, or if it ain't Farley, it ain't shit. Where do you check in, or are you just strictly hip hop on that?
You know what? I wasn't one of those rayon shirt dancing brothers back then.
Oh, Lord.
But I can appreciate the chosen few events that occur nowadays, because it's a great greater opportunity to greet and meet people. But as a youngster, you probably had me with more of a African medallion in a Lakers hat. I was all hip hop back as a youngster.
No doubt. And shout out to the chosen few. I was there in 2015. Can't wait to go back. So, no doubt.
It was awesome.
Yes. All right, that's what's good. That's enough of the House Music Digest.
Ooh, I'm surprised you let that Lakers hat go by.
Hey, man, look. I'm
this is a big-time Lakers fan back here from the 70s,
hey,
my nigga.
No doubt.
Are you a fan right now, though, is the question.
I am still a fan, and I am still a fan. And I'd say it once, I'll say it a million times. You can give me lint and 3 cents in pocket change, and I'll trade you Russell Westbrook.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow, for that?
Well, would you like Ben Simmons for him?
Yeah, real talk, I'll make that trade. And the only reason why I make that trade, because when your boy Westbrook was here playing for the Wizards, that was the perfect team for him. All he did is run and gun. And nobody was going to coach him. Nobody was going to tell him otherwise. And that's the Wizards are the perfect team for him. The Lakers, you know, they need some semblance of an offense, some semblance of defense, teamwork, working together, working within the offense, some kind.
Okay.
Give me Ben Simmons. I'll make that trade right now.
Ben Simmons won't work. LeBron got to have the ball in his hand too much.
Nah, that's not true. That is not true. But
I can't see LeBron standing on the wing waiting for somebody to pass him the ball, nigga.
Come on.
The Lakers would lose a player during the playoffs.
All right.
Why you say it's not true that LeBron doesn't need the ball in his hand?
I mean, LeBron does, and I mean, not in the way that I believe that Kerr G is saying LeBron needs the ball in his hands. I think that LeBron at his age can defer. I believe that. Now, but there are times when he has to take over the game. But at his age, okay, if it's in the last 5 minutes, then it's in the last 5 minutes. You know, LeBron's going to be standing on the wing while Westbrook is out of control down the lane?
On the wings of love. Go away with that love that shit you talk about.
I don't want to get too technical basketball with you, but I have never, ever seen LeBron James press down, set a screen, come up, curl. I've never seen him do any off-ball action.
That nigga is one thing only.
Okay.
Get the ball and drive to the hoop.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, killer. Just show him the rings, B.
Show him the rings,
nah,
my nigga.
No. That's not.
And that shuts up all conversations,
nah,
right?
B, I'm not that type of fan. I'm not denying that.
They got rings down at Crypto.com Center.
I'm not denying that. You're right. I'm not denying that. So, all right.
So I think Westbrook and LeBron are just two peas in a pod. Just can't have both them cats on the same squad.
Oh, well, again.
I was trying to tell them if coaches was coaching right, they should run them niggas like a hockey squad. Send them out there in shifts.
Yep.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Shout out to the Brothers Lehman.
Yeah, shout out to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Yeah, we didn't mean to jump into your arena. But I do appreciate the true honest evaluation of LeBron James, no doubt.
Wait. Hold on.
I thought we was getting ready to get back to hip hop.
Almost. Did I hear you clearly say you from Chicago?
Yes, sir.
And you rocking a Lakers cap?
That was back in that was the NWA Ice Cube era. You know, it was the LA hat. You know.
Well,
Cube was my top guy back then.
Well,
Cube was his man back then.
Yeah,
it's all good, brother. It's all
some
good.
Him and hawing going on. It is. Hey, I take that.
That's that Showtime shit you rocking right now.
He was like, what? He was like, man, fuck Michael Jordan.
I'm MJ all the way.
Oh, okay.
MJ and LeBron. Then we get out. MJ and LeBron. Who the best?
MJ.
Oh, okay, I'm just asking. I don't care. No. I'm just asking.
All right. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Now we can return to the previous program.
Yes, sir.
All right. No doubt. All right, yo. Let's see here. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is unbelievably so. It is that time, and we're gonna honor these people. But I hate when it's like this. Rest in peace to Leonard Nelson Hubbard.
Wow.
Hub from Philadelphia. Obviously, we all know him as the Roots bassist. The Roots were founded in 1987, obviously, from Amir Questlove Thompson and Tariq Black Thought Trotter. They were both students at the Philadelphia High School of Creative and Performing Arts. But the next two people to join the Roots were Hub and also, rest in peace, was Malik B. They were the next two people after the initial two. During his 15-year run with the Roots, appearing on 1995's Do You Want More, Illadelph Half-Life, and Things Fall Apart.
Classics.
Oh, what? Are you kidding me? Yeah, he was the co-writer of the big hit featuring Badu, You Got Me. Now, before people want to call in and say, oh, you know what I mean? He's the co-writer. He wrote music to You Got Me. So calm down. He was a bass player. All right. First thing people are going to say, oh, killer, you said he was a co-writer. Calm down, people. He was a bass player. But anyway, he passed away, and you know how we do on the Hip Hop Digest. We just want to honor him, and it is just absolutely, absolutely Illadelph Half-Life. I mean, between Illadelph Half-Life and Things Fall Apart, those they're still my favorite two. You know, and Do You Want More? I mean, you know, you know what I'm saying, you know, Distortion is Static, of course, you know, always be in my heart, you know what I mean, but Illadelph Half-Life is just that deal, and you get that record, and Hub shines. I forgot to pull the record out, but you know I got it. Matter of fact, and it's funny, the Roots, I got all the Roots, and every last thing that they put out, and the Roots have a running from Organix all the way up. So when you pick up the next Roots record, the list of records may start at 150. You know what I'm saying? Through all the albums, they have a running order. So, but I got all the Roots joints. But anyway, but again, we just want to say rest in peace to Leonard Hubbard. Just, you know, crazy. I mean, just absolutely crazy.
I just remember when we used to go and see them locally. And just how serious he was over there on that bass with that hoodie on, the black hoodie, cut off sleeves, and he'd just be in there just going for it. He was just in his zone.
And the Roots, I tell you, the Roots is going to be special to all of us because we saw the Roots when they were absolutely nobodies.
Nobody knew.
Right. At a free in-store concert at Tower Records.
It was Tower Records.
Yep.
Right outside of Georgetown over there.
Yeah, right at GW University, as a matter of fact.
And they just out there just playing. Just people just walking by.
Yep. They were nobodies. So we certainly seen them. And again, we want to say rest in peace to Hub. The next rest in peace is probably just as big and probably even bigger. Rest in peace to Kango Kid from UTFO. Wow. The Brooklyn representative, Sean Schiller Fakir, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. Obviously from the UTFO Untouchable Force organization. Their best known record probably was the 1984 single Roxanne Roxanne, with the Kango Kid delivering the first verse right after that, and then launched what they obviously, and we talk about this a lot, the Roxanne Wars, okay? Yeah. Which are the series of answer records headlined, or at least surrounded by, Molly Mall's 14-year-old one Roxanne Shante at the time, where UTFO basically figures that, oh, she's a little slick in the mouth hottie, so we gonna answer all her bluster. And a series of answer records. Now, where I got most of the information, I knew, but they were talking about release somewhere between 30 and 100 answer songs. No, sir. The correct is 27 answer records in total.
You got the real numbers.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
No fronting allowed.
But you gotta know, the single Roxanne, that was not the single that A-side was hanging out.
Damn.
Roxanne Roxanne was the B-side.
Okay. If you know, you know.
Yes. Roxanne Shante was the B-side. Roxanne was the B-side of that. So it's just very interesting as far as that. Now, Questlove actually had something to say about that was interesting. He said that You know, he never hears historians say that Roxanne was the first record to use Billy Squier's Big Beat.
Mm.
Now, I was immediately going to blow Questlove up, okay? Because I always thought it was Run DMC, Here We Go, Live at the Funhouse.
Mm. Here we go.
Here we go.
Yes, exactly. We all know it. And only reason why I say that, because at the beginning of the record, Run DMC is like 1, 2, 3, something, something live for 1983.
Mm.
So I'm hearing that on the record, so I'm immediately great. I'm going to get on the show and blow Questlove up. He should know better than that. But no, Questlove is correct, because Roxanne came out in 84. The Live at the Funhouse 12-inch didn't come out till 85, even though it was recorded. Right.
Even though it was recorded in 83.
Right.
They didn't put it out, so he was right.
Look, he's getting up to go to the stash. Look at him.
I gotta pull something out of the stash real quick.
Look at it. It's so impressive that he knows where shit is.
He's got his catalog in here.
Got the UTFO right there. My goodness.
This nigga, he's working back there. Doo, doo, doo.
Oh, the receipt.
There he goes.
I got it. So anyway, when I want to talk about UTFO. I want to continue to talk about UTFO, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace to the educated rapper as well.
Yeah.
I thought UTFO, their first record, was actually one of the first records where I really started to notice the artwork. Okay? And what you have on the UTFO front cover here is that you have UTFO, you see it, Kurt G.
Yeah, I see it.
There's a picture of UTFO on a young girl's dresser or a girl's dresser.
Right.
Because all around they got, you know, lipstick and nail polish and earrings and look at that fucking activator and shit. You know what I mean? They got activator and they got the lipstick like she's kissing the picture of UTFO. I really started to notice the artwork of that record.
Right.
I'm going to speak about the first album, which has Roxanne on it, but also has Leader of the Pack.
Ooh.
That was my favorite.
Now, let me tell you something. You know, UTFO was a big deal for us. Yeah. Literally, I just bought Leader of the Pack 12-inch this year.
Wow.
I've had Leader of the Pack on the albums. I got 3 of these motherfuckers, but I actually bought the 12-inch this year. You know what I mean? If you really think about that, real talk, niggas did play Fairytale Lover on slow segments.
Yep, for that set of 3.
Yeah, exactly. The 3 in a row.
3 in a row.
You know what I mean?
Here we go.
And 2, also, a long time ago, I put out the Essential Rock Records when it was really rock and hip hop. And one of the records that I put on that mixtape was UTFO Lisa Lips, which is a hard rock record amongst other hard rock records. Okay, I might have to dig that mixtape out and republish that.
There we go.
Because really what it does is the 80s was the big beat era, but it was also the era when people had hard rock, real hard rock guitars, not what passes for hard rock today. Real hard rock guitars from the 80s. Lisa Lips was one of them. Houdini had a record on there. Plenty of Beastie Boys and Run DMC for sure. Shout out to George J, who popped me on that Grandmaster Flash Scorpio, but that's the governor. That's his job.
Governor, yes, sir.
He's like, that's not a rock.
Right, no doubt. So anyway, the long tribute, and one last thing about the Kango Kid. We're honoring him because he passed away, but I want to say that to me, as Kango Kid sets off the record, it wasn't till you get to the educated rapper who, to me, murders the record on his verse.
The educated rapper, them deep, will never fess.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. With the lines like, stuck up, Roxanne, pay me no mind. She thought my name was Gary. I told her it was Larry. Something to the baby, to the carry. Isn't a father a fairy?
Wow, son.
Yeah.
Something about your local library. After all that, all I received was a pat on my back. I mean, he went off, especially right over the Billy Squier Big Beat.
That's true.
I mean, I just love the educated rapper's verse on Roxanne. That, to me, First time hearing it at William Penn Senior High School, walking in the by the pool, where the upstairs, where the pool is.
Somebody, yeah, we had a pool in our school.
Yo, yo, somebody put the headphones on me. They was like, yo, you got to hear this. And that was it.
I never got in that motherfucker either.
Oh, you never did?
No.
Oh, I love it.
I got an A for diving in the tank, yo. Teacher told me, if you dive in the tank, I'll give you an A. I did it. Got an A.
Yeah. I love the pool. Yo,
but before we get too far off topic, I want to also bring up something else, some new shit. V-Glove, you've been kind of quiet. What is something that is burning in you that you want to talk about here on the Hip Hop Digest Show?
Gee whiz, that's a loaded question.
He said, gee whiz.
It's all he did say. He went Andy Griffith on us and shit.
Why, guys? Gee willikers.
Oh, man.
I'm actually watching this documentary on Netflix called 137 Shots.
Damn.
And, and this is an eye-popping event that occurred in Cleveland with the police department that... multiple officers fired 137 shots at two unarmed victims in the car on Wednesday night after a 60-car police chase. It happened 2 years before Tamir Rice, and, like, nobody's ever heard of this incident.
Damn.
And so, like, stuff like that, that's what kind of, you know, floats my boat and gets me to asking questions and research.
Okay.
Wow. 137 shots.
Yeah, you got me now. I gotta watch that shit.
Yes, sir.
137 shots.
I see what I'm gonna be watching tomorrow. Wow. It's incredible.
It's pretty good. And then the last thing I watched was the Juice WRLD doc that was on HBO Max.
Oh, yo, I saw that shit, yo.
Yeah, that was
everybody's
really
guilty.
Said everybody's guilty?
Fucking body is guilty, yo. Every fucking interview, this dude was fucked up. It's like, gone. You can't even... He wasn't even himself. I mean, what was that shit he was drinking? Lean? What was that shit?
Probably.
Yeah, lean.
Yeah, and what was he talking? He was taking... Like, the normal shit is 1 ounce. He drinking, like, 4 ounces of that shit. Drink... Eating 5-6 Percocets at a time. Like, what the fuck were these people... doing, killer.
They was cashing checks. That's
I'm
what they were
smaller
doing.
Smaller than you, but I'm putting you in a fucking headlock if you ever, either of you big niggas ever try that shit. You getting headlocked up, nigga.
Well, I think that
they was cashing checks, nigga.
Well, the fact that they were cashing checks, that's an old thing. I think I done seen enough documentaries on Jimi Hendrix to know that his handlers was like, just keep Jimmy high and we got this.
Well, that was Juice WRLD, yo. Including his wife, everybody involved, his fans included. You cannot tell. Like, I didn't know the kid. You know, I know the name Juice WRLD, but I wasn't listening to that. And as I did watch this documentary, as V Glove did, I have an appreciation for the music, but I also was listening to what he was saying. This dude was begging for help. And nobody heard him.
Nah, it's crazy. That's the unfortunate part of it.
Just the kid, too.
22?
Yeah, just the kid.
He was on his way to his birthday party when he got taken up out of here. You brought that shit up, yo. It just brought a whole new... It just struck me again because I watched it just a couple days ago. And I watched the DMX one right before that.
How was that DMX one?
It's exactly what you expect. It's exactly what you expect for somebody to correctly put a year of DMX's life together. It's exactly what you expect. You will be sad when that shit's over, but I don't think you will be as sad as you were or will be with Juice WRLD, because we in our lane who followed along with DMX, I could say we're guilty. But we did say, yo, this brother needs help after all these incidents he was doing. We did say, yo, let's get this dude the help he needs.
And he did have people around him that was like, we're X. They were trying to look out for him, trying to get him to stop doing that shit. So it wasn't you say with Juice WRLD, where he had a bunch of motherfuckers that was enabling his ass.
Yo, it made me angry and sad at the same time to watch that shit.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think the difference between X and Juice WRLD is exactly the point where you say X seemed to be more of a of understanding of, you know, his demons and at rest, at peace with them, but not at peace, but
working through them himself.
Yeah, and which it was more of a okay, that's X. We know X like to do this. That's what X do. But with Juice WRLD, it was kind of like, no matter where he turned, I mean, there was no one that gave him any type of resolve that you can do, you more than this. None. You do better than what you're doing.
None that they showed. Killer, Kurt, watch that shit, yo.
Certainly will.
Wow.
I certainly will.
What's it on, you said?
It's on HBO, I think.
HBO Max?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay, that's what's up.
We'll put that in save.
Indeed, no doubt. And two.
But wait, quick. There's a bunch of them. There's not just, like I told you a few weeks ago, you got to watch that Mr. Saturday Night, too.
Oh, yeah, you said that was out, right?
Yeah, you got to watch that shit, too. All them shits they're just as good as our boy. What's our boy who does all them documentaries?
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns. Ken Burns. It's that good. It's up there with that type shit.
Okay. All right, that's what's up. No doubt. And so, you know, I guess we're going to stay in the pocket a little bit. This also goes into rest in peace. I didn't know this kid. I did hear of him briefly. Obviously, this Draco the Ruler, Los Angeles gentleman.
So who, he died.
Again, yes.
Wow.
On,
he was killed at the Los Angeles concert. His real name was Darnell Caldwell. He was scheduled to perform, but obviously he was fatally stabbed during an altercation. Now,
backstage.
I don't know anything about him. I'm not speculating on what he was or what happened in this, that, and the third. As of recording time, the only news that I got was footage emerged that showed Mr. Draco in a serious brawl with YG's goons. And that's where it ends at this point. Now, I have a feeling, and I hope it's not true, but I have a feeling that this doesn't end well. It already didn't end well, but this is not going to end well further. I understand aggressive behavior. I guess I understand that. I guess I am the old man. I come from the era where you get your gazelle snatched. You know what I mean? I don't know, you know. I just, these kids, and they're all kids. You know, this kid, this Mr. Draco, this gentleman, Mr. Caldwell, was born in 93. I mean, these are kids, you know, losing their life for absolutely zero. His life and what he was making and what he was doing for himself was on that stage. It was not to be in a fight in the back, you know, lot of a concert venue. He didn't deserve to be murdered. I don't know the circumstances. I'm not even going to speculate, but the news that YG's goons was involved already is setting it up to be a very, very sad situation.
And wow. To add on to that, is to even take it even further, is the fact that they said these youngins, they just have no value. I mean, for life, period. Absolutely zero value. Like, life is like stepping on a fucking roach to them. Like, you kill a nigga, it's just like walking in a room, see a roach, just step on it. It's just, that's how life is to them niggas. They have no humanity in the shit. It's just another nigga, they don't like him. Fuck,
and that's a great word for it. The humanity is missing. No doubt. So anyway, we're going to get to the last topic of the Hip Hop Digest is, and I thought this was pretty interesting, not the last topic, but next to the last topic, because I do want to save the last topic for someone special here. Why rappers don't make it.
Uh-oh.
And man,
that's the $1 million question.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just find this to be pretty interesting.
If you got
because,
an answer to this, my nigga, it's a whole lot of people going to want to listen to this show.
Well, I don't have any answers, but it goes to a list of four particular things. First thing is talent isn't enough. A lot of rappers think that they are good at rapping. Everything will fall onto their lap and gives them a sense of entitlement. Feels like they're owed success. Now, I don't know if that's pretty accurate because MCs who are really proficient at MCing generally aren't the ones who make it.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Nah, you'd be correct in that. There's not too many guys that can really rhyme the way that we like to hear rhyming.
Me.
That can really get down and spit that actually are
amongst
your popular rappers.
I don't like what he rhymes over and the way he rhymes, speaking of Eminem, but Eminem can MC.
But see, there's always that one nigga that everybody goes back, like you used to always say, what was that nigga's name?
What?
Oh, you used to scream his name all the time.
Oh, Kendrick Lamar!
Right. That's the name that we from our generation always scream out. Eminem! Eminem! He's the one nigga that you could say that's very popular that can rap and can really spit some rhymes. And that's Kendrick Lamar that you can say is very popular, that can really rap, can really spit some rhymes. But these niggas' name they spit out for the most.
All right. And the next is aren't willing to invest. Many rappers are not willing to pay for the quality and rather jump at the cheapest prices for music production, studio time, artwork, and music videos. Now, I can attest to that. I don't know. I do a little bit of remixing, me and my boy Kurt G. Here we do a little bit of remixing. But one thing we do in remixing, and we do take pride in as the mastering process, and we do pay for the mastering process, because there's a lot of people out there putting a million remixes out a day. But I'm thinking the one thing that may make us, just to give us a slight edge, is to pay for mastering, and we do so. Proper mastering. The people we use, amazing. So I agree with that. Next is that no promotion or distribution swerving. This is your lane. If you're thinking about, you know, but you got the group out there and it's no effort or investment on how to deliver your product or market your product to everyone in the sound of my voice. You think about that, son. We can't get up. We can't be getting Joe Rogan because King Killer's unwilling to do commercials and unwilling to be on YouTube. You can be honest.
So if that's my lane, that I would is. Say this. Do you want to be successful or do you want to be paid? Because success has nothing the fuck to do with money. Which a lot of people think it does. Success to me is me doing what the fuck I love, being able to pay my bills, being able to go out and have a meal. It ain't got to be Ruth's Chris. Bills paid, doing what I do, that's success to me. Having a lot of money, that's a bonus. That's just a beautiful bonus. And that's where we have been, if we're speaking personally, for a long time. We've been successful in doing what the fuck we do. 600 and something episodes of success.
Low budget, though.
But that's quality, though.
There you go. Thank you, sir. See, that's it. Fine. This man is making a commercial for us. Mm-hmm. I like him.
Thank you. And at the same time, though, let me say this. Because, again, this is my lane, right? I have seen the glory. I've been to the mountaintop. I just wanted y'all brothers to get there with me, and it seems that we are now at a point where we are seeing the promised land together. But that still has nothing to do with success, because we are successful. Tell me another podcast, hip hop, that has 600 plus episodes.
Zero.
That only do it once a week. Not motherfuckers that's on here every day just saying something.
Right.
All right. So,
but can I take that layer of success a little deeper?
Sure,
go right ahead.
Because when you look at everybody's biopic, whatever entertainer that may be, whatever movie, authorized, unauthorized, when it gets down to the core to it, everybody wants to be famous,
right? Yeah.
And I think that is the qualifier of what being successful and being rich and being famous, that where there's levels to. Because you could be famous and be broke as hell.
Ask all the niggas on fucking social media. There's a lot of motherfuckers famous and broke as a motherfucker.
Right.
Or you could be rich and not successful. Would you consider Donald Trump successful?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So again, it's two different things that are close to each other,
right?
But it depends on what your values are,
right?
All right. And the last thing that was discussed in this article was the "I can't afford it" mindset. They say they would like to do things on a larger scale, but just can't afford it. Now, there's the legendary Hove coming into the business with $1 million. You can do a lot with $1 million. These young kids, hey, look, maybe the trap stories are true. Trap for a couple easy of years. Eat. Yeah, easy, eat, whatever. The trap stories are true. You know what I'm saying? You come into trap stories, you can... It's easy for you. Trust me when I tell you, it was very easy if Hove had $1 million to get Mary J. Blige on the hook, because Mary J.'s fee was paid.
Yep.
Okay, Mary, I don't know if she knew Hove. You know what I'm saying?
She knew that check.
Right.
She knows him now.
Indeed. You know what I'm saying? Whether Jerry Heller was stealing or not, you know, he came in and Ruthless Records was born because of his serious financial, you know, as he put in, you know. So, again, I don't know. Not everybody's going to want to sell drugs or do other things to get put on. I mean, I don't know about that. But, indeed. So, you know, we don't know. We're going to, you know. Well, why most rappers don't make it or never make it? Those are the four some reasons that he cited. He cited a couple more, but, you know, that's with that, indeed. So now we're going to get on the last topic of the Hip Hop Digest. We have a wonderful friend of the show, Cookbook.
Uh-oh. My brother, Felipe's Garage. Yes, sir.
Felipe's Garage, indeed.
Oh, shit. Let me go ahead and I got to break out my phone now.
Okay, so, yes, sir. So,
you the one said we got to get our notes earlier. You was like, get your notes.
Well, he who heard what I typed knew who I was talking about. It wasn't you, Kurt.
Oh, okay. So I said, because if it's going to be that serious, let me go ahead and get some shit together here.
Nah, my man just had his notes last week and they got lost, so I was just...
Reminded him to make sure he had his notes.
So okay. Anyway, let me announce it in full. We're reviewing a Cookbook's album, a Cookbook and Sherbert. Okay,
yes, sir, you said it correctly.
Port L.A. Angelos, or however it's pronounced.
Port Angeles.
Yeah, B, you know I can't.
I told you, Cookbook.
Yeah.
Hey, Cook, it's okay.
It's all right.
Anyway, so we're reviewing the record, and I listened to the record. I don't know who wants to go first on the record.
How many is it? Eight tracks?
It's eight tracks.
All right. So how do you want to break this up? You want to go your whole review per person, or you want to take a couple songs, the other person take a couple songs?
Well, I'm just going to say, out of the eight tracks total, I pulled out the four tracks that I thought were excellent, in my opinion.
Okay.
Okay. So, just overall, did I like the record? Yes, I did like the record. The record was very listenable. And the record is very listenable for the particular reason. Cookbook, for those of you who may know Cookbook's catalog, and I admittedly don't, were arriving to us from the L.A. Symphony. Okay. Not really familiar with his flow, but the down-tempo flow on this is where Cookbook is shining. Okay, you have obviously the video, which is crazy entertaining. The Cook Up has our boy Swerve in it.
Wiley.
Yes, but it's a great record, no doubt. Blood Type is absolutely probably the best record on there, in my opinion. He gets deep on that. Again, the flow, not forced, very easy. Almost down tempo, really more on the down tempo end of that. Track number 7, Lounge Music, just absolutely, again, gorgeous. That is where Cookbook is shining. I don't know what Cookbook flow was. Was he DOS Effects before that? I don't know. But where he is now, okay.
He said where he is now, you like that.
Where he is now really could set up a whole thing for Cookbook. Number, and last but not least, track 8, If I Could Go Back. The track is absolutely gorgeous on that. Again, at 4 of the 8, I'm down with it. That's just me, King Killer, being 100% trill on that. Again, it's a pretty good product. I can't really be mad at that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's kind of me, the long and short of it. I hope that Cookbook, again, is captured what he really wanted to capture as far as the recording of that, and it came across to how he liked it. But for me, those are the 4 tracks, again, with Blood Type, where he is really goes deep on that. That's a grown man rap. That's a record that, you know, as you're listening to it, you're listening to it. You're just not hearing it. So shout out to Cookbook. You know what I'm saying? Congratulations on the product. I'm going to sit back and see what my other brothers are talking about.
Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, I'm just going to... Well, I got an extensive joint. I wrote track by track. This motherfucker got my music magazine shit on.
Oh, shit. Well,
we're going to have 3 different types, so go ahead and give yours, sir.
So off the music magazine, I went track for track. So I'm going to go in here and get my read on. On the intro track, I basically said it's a cinematic sound, and it feels something like a movie soundtrack. And then Cookbook comes in with the lyrical wordplay that's like sprinkles on top of a cupcake and finishes the track off. So the intro, even the intro, is crazy. And then the cook up, all I got to say about that joint is, cook up. I don't know what the fuck y'all used on that as a sample of niggas actually sampled that bitch, or the niggas was in there actually saying, cook up. But the shit's crazy to me. And then on number 3, the magic joint, I put this one's my favorite track right here, because everything on it comes together. I like the beat, I like the hook, and I like the way Cook, on this beat right here, Cook was really riding the track, because if you ask Killer, we like MCs that can really flow on a track.
Yes, sir.
And on that track right there, you really was riding the beat on that joint right there. And then the next one, If You Say, I wasn't really feeling that joint right there. I don't think the hook came off right to me, but the track ain't whack. And then on number 5, Blood Type. As you said, Blood Type, this is a joint right here. I think everything fell into place on that track. I like the drum track. I like the organ work on there.
Yeah.
And I also like the way Cookbook was with the introspective lyrics.
Yeah.
And the way he was actually coming in and telling a story on that shit. So, flavor. And then number 6, Child's Play. And I put, now this shit right here, this just smooth as a motherfucker. That's all I can say. Just can't front on that one. And then the lounge music joint, as you said on the lounge music joint, I think Cook just was bringing his thing on that one. That one was crazy. I like the lounge music too. Number 8, now this one, I put, this was a regrets, no regrets type of track, where he was actually on there, he was talking about things that he wished he would have changed, but if he would have changed them, he wouldn't have been the person he is right now. And that's it for me. And overall, I give the record a B-.
There we go. All right, so y'all know, again, I don't need to say it, it's my brother, and just like I love y'all, I love my man Cook, and we do Felipe's, and we talk about this shit all the time, about how he definitely has something to say, all right?
You know what I'm saying? So he don't bite his tongue.
No. He definitely has something to say, whether it's him taking track records or trap records and spitting on it the right way, or whatever. But for this album here, and I think what we missed, and I'm not going to let it slide, is that Sherbert put some fucking tracks together on this shit. It started out, I think he submitted some shit to Cook, because we were doing something, some remixes or something on Felipe's Garage, and Sherbert submitted some shit, and Cookbook started fucking with him, and next thing you know, they got a fucking album together. From Portland, Oregon. This brother's dope. He's dope.
Oh, I gotta come back after you're done too. I'll let you finish. I'm gonna let you finish. I said,
Kanye, go ahead.
I said, I'm gonna let you finish. I got something to say. You ain't got the answers.
All right, I'll finish. I definitely love the way they sampled the same sample as our motherfucking our boy from up in New York. That the cook up that. I forget the sample right now, but you know it as soon as you hear it. I want to say Showbiz and AG, but I'm wrong. Who is the producer? I'm tripping right now.
Diamond D.
Yes, the Diamond D sample. I'm tripping because I was sipping. Forgive me. Right? The only record that I would be like number 8 of 8 for me would be Magic. We Can Do. But that to me is just a cookbook record because I know him and that's his type shit. But that, real talk, that if I could go back, you're listening to his story, but it also gives you, it opens up you to listen to shit and think about shit for yourself. It's an honest record. And overall, yeah, I would give it a B as well.
Okay.
All right. That's what's good. I didn't give it a letter grade. I'm going to probably do a little less. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a good record, but I'm saying good record on the scale of listenability. I'm saying C, strong C plus. It could be a B, but there was, I think, some core like hip hop elements that were missing. It was really smoothed out. That's why I like the more down tempo things about it. So,
D nigga, BBD.
No, I didn't say D nigga. I said
hip hop.
Well, oh damn.
Oh yeah, cook,
it ain't R&B, but you know what I mean. No doubt.
I had to get, because y'all don't know he got fucking pocket full of fucking shivs and always trying to get him in. So I'm gonna take that.
Okay,
one.
That's what's good. But go ahead, G. You were gonna finish up.
I wanted to get the producers some love. Let me get the man behind the wheel some credit. I want to get the producers some love on this, Sherbert. This track, right, the way he produced the joints, I got to give him straight, nothing but straight props on it. Because it's rare to hear producers, I mean, good producers that produce shit and actually use the pan button. Like, they don't know what the pan knob is for. Everything is up the center of the fucking track. There's nothing spread out across the beat to make it sound stereo and make the shit just, you know, fill up the whole fucking speaker.
Oh, yes, he does. He has a wide spectrum.
And I love that, a wide spectrum. He's got shit. He got maybe had the horns in the right speaker. He got the guitar in the left speaker. When you're doing that shit, producers out there, make sure you fill up the fucking stereo spectrum. Don't just have everything coming down the middle 100 miles an hour and loud as fuck. Spread that shit out across the speakers like it's a highway. You don't want everything in one lane. Spread it across and have 20 lanes across that motherfucker.
Hold up.
Yeah.
So that's what's up, yo. All right, no doubt. So are we ready for Kurt G's World Famous?
Ah, shit. Yep. Okay. All right. It's my time to shine, huh?
All right.
We ready.
All right. We're ready. Kurt G's World Famous Albums of the Week.
All right. This week, we got Freddie Black and Raz Beats, Black Beats, Peyote Cookies, and Late Nights. That's Freddie Black and Raz Beats, Black Beats, Peyote Cookies, and Late Nights. And then we got the Ninth Wonder Mixtape. Ninth Wonder Mixtape. Yeah, that joint, I just heard that joint a couple days ago. I was like, oh, this shit's crazy.
Okay, wow. So next show that you hear, not this show, but the show after this show, will be the
Albums
of the Year, the 30 album extravaganza that we do every single solitary year. You
shit,
know,
off the break, I can tell you it's 27.
Yeah, there's one going to be on everybody's shit, at least one.
Well, only thing I'm saying is you know what to expect. Plenty of fireworks, maybe some arguing, niggas trying to disqualify certain shit. We'll see about that.
There may be some disqualifiers right. This year, brother.
And because of that, we will not pick a name out of the fishbowl because next week's show will probably be long. So we don't want to have somebody on here just sitting and listening to us going in about shit.
No
so
doubt.
So we just going to go ahead and we'll go to next, the week after that, we'll go in and pull a name for the new year out the fishbowl.
Indeed.
Yeah. You see our fishbowl here, brother?
Sir.
All right. So anyway, I'd like to thank Mr. Glove for being on the show. It was an honor, sir, to have you on the show. I'm glad that you do get enjoyment from the show and that you're in the text chain and, you know, going in. You know how we do. You know what I'm saying? It is pretty much a family situation in there. You know what I'm saying? A lot of respect for each other. So it is a good place to be. If you one of those social media bugs and type people, you want to go ahead and put all that out there, you can. Or, you know.
Hey, Big Love, that was King Killer's way of saying.
This is your time to put your stamp on it and say, what do you want niggas to know about you?
Or no, that's not what he was saying. That's not what he said. King Killer was saying, no. King Killer was saying, If you got a little social media or something, go ahead and say what it is.
Is that what I said?
That's what it felt like, huh?
Well, hey, I'm just a humble servant, man. No fanfare, no platform. Nice. I just like to observe and keep the score. Mm. But what you guys do here with your platform at Hip Hop Digest, the chemistry is bananas. Thank you for the invitation. I felt welcome. I can't wait to hear the audio of this. As I reflect on my input in the content, and I look forward to more episodes. Wish you guys prosperous success in the future, and safe travels on your holidays if you're going anywhere.
Thank you. All right, sir. Be safe out there. All right.
Indeed, you brothers do the same.
All right, bro.
All right. Good night.
I love. Peace.
One.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Not too many people do it like this no more.
Real talk.
Most of the time, they jump on their phone and try to make it real digital. They afraid of that analog sound.
Good things come in threes, though.
Let's throw it back one time. Ain't that bass line so groovy?
Connect like Voltron.
Here we go.
Mark Duh. D.
Yes, Lord.
Black, let's
This is
go.
What an epileptic scar sleeping. Ooh. Seduced by the evening. I peeked the pieces, you kept a secret. I brought the keys in. Unlocked the pocket, you left your sockets. I'm plugging in. Above being in foul ages, fly defeated. Ooh. Repeat the scenics, we seen double cup with a lean teething. I'm breathing oxygen, found in sonics, illophonics. With every document, I pin it like it's positive. I'm dying tomorrow. Do you have an ear I can borrow? Do you? Give you this heavy cargo. Soak the knuckles I wrote. Yo. You take two puffs in my choke. Dope is an understatement. We kick your fair cases, fair sell cases. It to corner pavement. Don't try to face it, that's too much for your crew. Too we tie that lace in your shoe, that's why they moving they too. We give them reason to ooh, ah, they woo side, bumping they Alpine trust. I might as touch when it comes to this mic bust. A Magnum rapper captain, what's the disgust?
Now here we go, got something for street folk. I'm coming to train a die, blame it on weed smoke. Enlightened with the high, get busy, don't be broke. They call it what you want, my people just be dope. Now here we go, it's something for street folk. Call it a train to die, blame it on weed smoke. Enlightened with the high, get busy, don't be broke. They call it what you want, my people just be dope. Look, it's two decades in the new millennium. Hustle always been heavy, more chips than Pentium. Ain't stressing on the update, my whole style's an upgrade. Loading up a clip, but too reckless for the front page. Swinging like the production of a figure be drumming, engineering, driven by LA's finest, disgusting. Sicker than your average, like triple lockers, we classic. Got the evidence of Mike Rock a soul assassin. So what the hell is passion and how legit is it? And it don't hurt if you talented and meticulous. Gotta put in work, invest and build businesses. Game so cold like a Sub-Zero finisher. But this hot shit gon' cool it down. Why they live on Front Street, man? Who you fooling now? I drop gems to increase sense. Fuck a weak trend. This is legacy in stone. I be jotting with this ink. Now here we go. It's something for street folk. Call it a train of thought. Blame it on weed smoke. Enlightened with the high. Get busy, don't be broke. They call it what you want. My people just be dope. Now here we go. It's something for street folk. Call it a train of thought. Blame it on weed smoke. Enlightened with the high. Get busy, don't be broke. They call it what you want. My people just be dope.
So who the dope is when they come to serve it raw? Shit, I just shaved, baby. Get ready to get my voice. Okay, talk slick. I'm a problem, but ready to sell shit. Oh shit, black boy back to get you all lit. Get heroin. Who let the pharaoh in? Do you the dopest from California to Maryland? And if we talk a dope in a comparison, they're whiter than the Karen with fair skin and a parent's inheritance. So arrogant. This dude destruct, twist up like a whirlwind. Mark Dub embarrassed them. Black Rock, that's a gem. Treasure him and bury him. Look at that, they fishing for the style, no aquarium. Since a kid, Thursday was my favorite day. I got the hump and plus the weekend was a day away. Alexander, why? Everything I make is great. Niggas trying to be black, they not even the shade.
Now here we go, it's something for straight flow. Call it a train of thought, blame it on weed smoke. Enlightened with the high, get busy, don't be broke. They call it what you want, my people just be dope. Now here we go, it's something for straight flow. Call it a train of thought, blame it on weed smoke. Enlightened with the high, get busy, don't be broke. They call it what you want, my people just be dope.
My nigga just be dope.
Right now, ain't no time to critique. A flow that's unique. Sit back and let my soul speak. Work like a slave till I'm outdated. Slowly faded. Now time left me cause I stagnated. I've been broken since I fell off the show. Now I gotta pick up the pieces and fix myself. I ain't gon' sit here and act like we ain't all been through it. Give you something you feel and hope you heal through my music. Everybody is somebody, but nobody won't be it. So don't say you was forsaken, the journey you ain't completed. Say you king of your world, yeah, it's hard to believe it. Cause when God send you signs, it's hard for you to see it. And feel stuck while the pressure surrounds you. Cause you ain't well aware on what surrounds you. Look for a sense of peace, and it's found through what your soul expresses, the feeling that helps ground you. So be precise when you're making your song, cause energy could backfire once you channel it wrong. So stop moving sloppy, a star in a human body, mixed with a carbon copy, your ruler like King Joffy. They can't stop me, I embody the Anunnaki in order to see the top. Your steps like Rocky, it's risky business to go the distance with no assistance. With every word I speak, I try to hit with persistence to help you see the real world and question your existence. Seek truth and put the lies to rest. Good riddance, labored and outcast, cause I'm out of the norm. Created and formed on the last days as I brainstorm to the future. Niggas busting medullas, carrying rugas, can't express. So they type their feelings through the computers. Some found a way, and some lost, ready to forfeit. Claim this is your life, we'll be responsible for it, nigga.
Food for thought in a brown paper sack. Protein in a veggie in a pyramid that stacks. No mysteries in life, but the mysteries attack. Like, why the 1% control the 99? And why the 99 always hate to lead the blind? Why the helping hand never seems to help your man? You seen the hand dealt, charity is helping fam. Lead, we is all we got. But playing the Powerball is all we plot. The dreams and aspirations is all we stop. Hit the block and find the hustle, cause we all want knots, man. That transcends even race. If you grew up poor, one time you faced the case. Plotting on a comb, trying to make it out this place. A lot of wonder whys, could have been's and mistakes. It's free lunch for everybody. Food for thought if you're hungry. It's free lunch for everybody. Food for thought if you're hungry. Man, this is Lunchline Rap. All the food for thought in a brown paper sack. Protein in the veggie in a pyramid that stacks. No mysteries in life, but the mysteries intact. Like, why we go broke to beat the Joneses? Why we going dead paying back the dollars loaned us? High interest rates on those federal notes. Why we waiting through inflation, concentrating our hopes? Thinking it's gonna pass, but the dollar could crash. Then we turn on our roles like playing some Super Smash. Dog eat dog, got them kennels overcrowded. Nobody wants to work cause the government allowed it. Listen, the pandemic was the scariest times. Don't think it wasn't used by nefarious minds. Add some cancer culture and some furious crimes. And it feels biblical in these curious times. It's free lunch for everybody. Food for thought if you're hungry. It's free lunch for everybody. Food for thought if you're hungry. Man, this is Lunchline Rap. All the food for thought in a brown paper sack. Protein in a veggie in a pyramid that stacks. No mysteries in life, but the mysteries intact. Like, Why they use religion like it's hatred? I serve a prince of peace who thought that love was very sacred. That means everybody, not just people that you wait with. Loving one another isn't just another statement. So much energy is needed for its placement. Easy just to hate, so we hate it when we face it. Right to the left, divide and conquer, man, it's bonkers. They keeping all the locks like they living out in Yonkers. Say a DMX prayer for the hostiles, praying for the souls that lost hope in the gospel. A lot of whys, and the question is a weapon. I'll never stop asking, and my tribe is still questing. Yeah, it's free lunch for everybody. Food for thought if you're hungry. It's free lunch for everybody. Food for thought if you're hungry.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Houdini drops another one in everybody's face. And dig it, they call this one Grandmaster Beat, Funky Beat.
Film at level.
Funky, funky beat. Funky beat, funky beat. Funky beat. Funky beat, funky beat.
To be the new funky beat of the year. If you want a funky beat, why not use mine? I be rocking funky beats all the time. So now's the time, and this is the chance. Cause the next record might not make you dance. Cause funk ain't nothing but a four-letter word. That's all this spell, but seldom heard. Listen to the bass drum hit the ground. The bass sounds like it weighs at least a pound. You heard the drum roll, it wasn't clear in your eye. But tell me the truth, are you that surprised? We make beats with rhythm and rhythm with beats. Hear my records in the club as well as the streets. So to all your MCs that's looking for idol, Jalil's my name, Master Rap is my title. This beat here will be served and deserved. We'll rock on point and turn all curves. We'll rock every beat with the greatest of ease. And if you try and drum roll us, we'll bob and weave. We'll slip and slurp, tear off our shirt, just to show you what it's like when a rap is at work. So from now until the man who we feel is gonna go rocking on the wheels of steel.
Grandmaster D, hit me.
Your mind, your feet, your body, your soul. Other DJs may stop and stare, but when I'm on the set, I show no fear. I rock the beat because it is fresh, and the other DJs know that I am damn, 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 damn your ass.
The point we try to make is simple. On the turntables, he's quick and nimble. Since he's here, we're gonna prove our point. Now the Houdini's inside the joint. Born and raised in the streets of Brooklyn, there are three of us, and we're all good. And young ladies, huh? We show the wind. It's like 5 plus 5, we equal 10. So easy on the tweeter, heavy on the bass. With some help from Master D, we gonna rock. My time is up. It's a new John Lil. All DJs are created equal. To this rap, there will be no sequel. People like you must understand that all rap groups don't need no band. All we need in order to achieve is some help from the master. You better believe, and you'll get results, and not. And that's the way our business is dealt. The words we speak are so explicit. We rock from the Atlantic to the Pacific. With the men with an international beeper. But call us at night because our rates are cheaper. And it's our intent to represent the DJ that'll give you 100%. More exciting than a one-man band. Too good to be great, so we call the man Grand Master D.
S-A. Everybody with a mouth talking about DJ makes master.
DJ Ice, to be precise, the boy is nice.
Cause he can cut butter, cut wages, cut a girl in two. And all your whack DJs make up a mess out of you.
He'll cut paper, cut bread, cuts down a tree.
And make you wish you were dead when you might as well be.
As a matter of fact, to be exact, this is not fiction, this is all fact. The man in the back is dressed in black. He's called what we call
makes master
another storm, going on strong all night long. Or go on, he's down by law with the force crew, and you can say I'm on his because you are too.
Some people say that we're the village people of rhyme, because we all have an image that we stand behind.
Like I'm a soldier of love,
can't go,
I never run, because I possess the metals for the battles I won.
And I'm Dr. Ice, so debonair.
You can tell that I'm a doctor by the clothes that I wear,
and I'm the world's most educated rapper, MD, and I'm causing much damage in the place to be.
And as a matter of fact,
to be exact, this is not fiction, this is all fact. The man in the back is dressed in black. He's gone for we gone.
Yes, he is above the average man, and he'll cut up any DJ he can. He started from the bottom and took the right route. Now the scratches are playing at that without a doubt. The way I'm going now, I think I passed my beat. We can't go kicking EMT. We'll never get weak. Rhymes are written every day. And never forgot. Sometimes it's hip hop or it might have a plot. To write a devil rap till the rapper is neat. But the MC ain't fresh unless he's rotten the beat. And the week, every week, it's got to be tough and original. That's when I say it's rough. From my point of view, that's how I feel. And when I say it, baby, you know it's real. If I'm the price on your food, the fit on the bus, and soon you'll be seeing it, Doc, we trust.
Well, I'm not into surgery, I'm not into books, and I may not look the way that you imagine I look. But I'm looking good, baby, and you best believe that. Cause when it said K-Go, they meant the hat. Now when they said the gift, they meant me, of course. When it said you see, I've only been touching before. Let us skip that subject, gang go on to world things. I got a message, and the message I bring is I got the look you want to know better. I'm not your dad, but I consider myself to never be a loser to none. Cause I possess the medals for the battles I won. And the way I perform, I ought to be sued. Cause I specialize in being nothing but rude. The leaders of the pack are the one in command. Comprende, capisce, capon, understand.
Yo, bust this. 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 Bust this.
Beware, the fury of indigenous man. I'll discombobulate any rapper I can. My superior vernacular will keep me ahead. Most of you are cogitating what I just said. But that's just a morsel, I'm very discreet. And the formula for rap like this can't be beat. It's not the usual, it can't be condemned. And my preeminent thoughts will linger on to the end. Cause I'm a separate grammar, I was always inclined. Intellectual verses like this are hard to find. The elementary I always obtain. Interesting literature that's good for your brain. And if I was a Mexican, I'd wear a sombrero. If I was a soldier, I'd probably be a hero. But I'm not, I'm into rap. And I'm down with the nigga.
Makes master ice. Makes master ice. Makes master ice. Makes master ice. Makes master ice.
Or else your party will be terminated. Thank you.